Hello and welcome, David the Pressure Harris, to the show. How lovely to see you again.
Goodness, what a welcome. I wasn't expecting Hello. That at all.
Yeah, you deserve it. You deserve it. Let's end up with that. Let's end up with that. Yeah, good to see you. Oh, just played it again. I just can't get enough of you. They can't get enough of you. That is enough of that. How are you doing?
Encore. Encore, they cry.
Encore? Okay, I'll press the button again. Hey! Happy Christmas. Happy Easter. Shall we get on with the show?
Okay, let's get on with the show. That sounds like you're a busy guy.
Yeah, we've got stuff to do. Here we go.
They're back. The show with the Pressure and Frosty.
This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for.
Hello and welcome to the show with the Pressure and Frosty, and an extra special hello to all of the boys and girls and grown-ups who are watching us on the video via YouTube or Spotify or Anchor. Hello, hello. You can see us now. Isn't it weird? Our faces probably don't match our voices, but that's okay.
It's okay. Just roll with it, kids. I know this is strange for everyone. No stranger for Frosty and I. Yeah, we've been friends for a while, and seeing each other on screen with all these blemishes and close-ups, it's even weirder than in the flesh.
Well, yeah, I guess so. It's a kind of weird thing, isn't it? Sometimes if I'm listening to a double act on a podcast and I see their faces, I usually mix up the voices to the face. So do you think people would think that your voice matches me and my voice matches you? Do you think you match your voice?
Yeah, I suppose. I guess so, yeah. Yeah, you would not think your voice could come from me.
I guess, yeah, because your voice...
And you definitely could not do my voice.
Oh, I could definitely do your voice every day of the week. Thank you very much. I'm the Pressure and I'm too cool for school. How'd you do?
That's pretty good. It was almost like me in stereo. If I could have spoken along to you
at the same time,
then people would be really That's good, because on your Mandy page, it doesn't say that you do Cockney. It says that you do all kinds of different stuff. Voice, age, adult, young adult, accents, English, received pronunciation. Do you want to give us a bit of that?
Hello, and welcome to the show with The Pressure and Frosty. My name is Frosty, and my very good friend The Pressure is on the other side of the line. How do you do, my young fellow?
That's really good. It's like Lord of the Rings narration there as well. It says you can also do Northern. Well, you can do Welsh Northern.
Hello, my name is Owen Frost, and I'm from Snowdonia, and we speak a little bit like this, a bit nasally, and we pronounce everything a bit stronger. I think there's a female presenter on Six Music called something, and she talks a little bit like that.
Sean Ethery, and she really goes for it. I think she hams it up even. I saw her do a documentary about like a haunted house in Wales. So she went back to this village and interviewed locals, did a lot of Welsh speaking, pronounced all the Welsh names in really thick tongue. It's too much for me. It's too much. She's doing really well. She does Selector, which is a radio show that we actually carry here on Hoxton Radio.
So,
tenuously linked there to...
Very good, very good. Diane Diolch. She's very good. But I hear her voice, and I'm a Welsh person, and it sounds painful when she speaks. Like, she needs to speak in Welsh, really, not English. It doesn't fit her mouth. But then I guess that's her USP, isn't it? Everyone needs a USP to get through the parapet and be noticed.
The current BBC USP is for, like, yeah, just regional accents right now, and it's making me sick to the stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's regional, but like my voice is regional, but it's not regional enough because.
I don't know. They've got a geezer called Hugh that seems to be doing pretty well at the BBC right now. So, and he
Who's
sounds
Stevens?
Like he's from near to your sort of town. So I don't know if you can really. Don't know what your excuse is, mate.
His accent is strong though. He's got a strong Cardiff accent, very strong.
Yeah, they're all hamming it up as well, because I know that a lot of them record from their regional hubs. So even on his trail, it's like, hello, let's play music together from Cardiff. From my hometown of Cardiff. We'll play you some nice music. Have a chat from Bloody Wales. Make sure you're tuning in. In case you forgot, I'm from Bloody Wales. Ticking a box, aren't I? Listen, 4 till 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
He had a sting, or whatever you call it, where there's a voiceover and they go, Hugh Stevens on between Tuesday and Wednesday. But they pronounced his name Who a lot of the time to begin with. And it sounded really weird saying Who in an English accent. Because you say Hugh, don't you? Because you're English. Hugh. But if you've got an English voiceover saying it, it sounds very forced. And so I've noticed now recently they've changed it back to Hugh Stevens instead of Hugh Stevens. A little interesting sort of thing there. But what accent would you like to have then? Or do you like your accent?
I'm quite into Midlands at the moment. I'm having a bit of a Coventry sort of vibe to myself. And I think this face would suit that.
Definitely.
Kind of, you know, sort of sullen and slow. How you doing? Oh, I like your shoes. Where are they from? Yeah. New Brogues, I'll see.
Ooh,
Brogues? Well.
The hat fits the Peaky Blinders as well.
Is my sign backwards to you? Because it's backwards to me.
It's not backwards. No, it's not. It's
okay,
we're filming this on a thing called Riverside.fm, which is allowing us to do all the funky bells and whistles. So shout out to Riverside FM. Thank you very much for that. And we are recording remotely right now. I'm in my bunker in Tilehurst, Berkshire. And Dave, I'm presuming you're in Mama Shelter in big old London there.
I'm in Radioland, and I've put all the lights on today. I've put them all on. We've got four lamps, plus then the up lights, and I might even put my phone torch on if I feel that I'm not getting enough. I feel lit enough today. I've worn colours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm okay. I'm all right.
Yeah, you're looking good. I've noticed you've got a lamp directly for your Hoxton Radio sign at the back. I really appreciate that. It's a good bit of effort there. I got my ring light on.
Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. It looks good, yeah. You've got ample lighting because you're in pretty much a darkened room with very little natural light.
Yes, yes. So listeners, I made this cabin from... I made this studio from a cabin last year and I've insulated it all and I put this really dark carpet on because I thought it'd be like, you know, you can focus on like a recording studio. But it is really dark. It just drinks all the light in. So I really need to make sure that when I'm doing like... Because sometimes you'll do a Zoom chat for an audition, which I've done before, and I thought I was lit up quite well. And then the person on the other side, when we started the chat, you went, "Ooh, that's dramatic." And he took like a step back. He was a bit surprised. I must have looked really sort of menacing. I was playing a serial killer in it, so I was like getting into character. And I must have just been a little bit too much. So yes, I've got to be careful with the lights.
Can you do green screen in there?
I mean, Zoom does a natural green screen on it, and it's a bit rubbish, to be honest. I can do it. I've got a green screen. I could put one up and do that.
Because I mean, my room's full of junk. You know, there's trash everywhere. That computer monitor, it's not even plugged in. That's so much crap there is in here. But yours looks like a quite blank canvas from which to create art.
Yes, that's the thing. I want to put some stuff up on the walls, but then I use this room to do self-tapes for the uninitiated. A self-tape is like an audition that you would send out. Instead of going to an audition to London, they ask you to film at home, and then you can email that over. It just makes it a bit easier for everyone else. You have to travel, take a day off work. It's got its pros and cons, but when you do a self-tape, you want the background to be as plain as possible so they can just focus on your face. So I don't want to put too much stuff on the walls, because it'll just detract from my amazing performance. So yeah, so I've got to leave it kind of bare. But hey ho, that's just the way it is. I'm a professional. It's not a man cave.
Give them what they want. Give them what they need.
Yeah, exactly. I've been cast in a play I'm very excited about. I can't give any details away just yet, because it's not been announced. But it's a two-hander. And it's a fully funded show where I could be on tour. And I'll be touring in the autumn, hopefully, if everything goes to plan. But yeah, I'm cast in it, and it's very, very exciting. So I've got something coming up to look forward to at last.
How many dates will you tour for?
I don't know. They haven't put the dates down just yet. They were talking about doing the Camden Fringe for, I think that's for 2 weeks in July or August, but they said that's not enough dates. So I think we're going to do about a month or 6 weeks.
Not enough interest. Pull the other one, mate.
Yeah, so we're going to do about 6 weeks or something.
How many weeks rehearsal?
Usually for something like that, it's about a week or 2 weeks, probably 2 weeks, I'd say. It's very intense. I've worked with this director before, and she's amazing. She does loads of other stuff. I won't say anything just yet because it's not been announced, but she's incredible. And doing a two-hander play is really intense, you know? You've got to learn all the script. There's like a full script to learn. And I know it sounds silly, but like when you've got like a ensemble, it's, you know, you can take a step back here and there. But if it's a two-hander, you're listening to the other person. You have to take it on board. But I'm very excited about it. It's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Will there be an understudy that then is potentially covering for both of you two then? Or what if, you know, what if...
In an ideal world.
Because you get ill quite often.
Yeah. I don't. I haven't been ill for three weeks. That's a long time.
I don't know. Yeah, that's my greatest fear, isn't it? Being ill on stage because, you know, the show must go on, though. No, in an ideal world, there would be an understudy. But in this case, I don't think that would happen. I don't think I got one.
The stuff you did at Christmas, you had to take the set down and stuff at the end of the show. So I guess each night it was kind of fun doing the performance, but you always had in the back of your mind, oh, bloody hell, I've got to do that stuff afterwards. And I'm sure you're in the zone, so you weren't thinking about it at all. Counter that then, when you're rehearsing and when you're sort of just storyboarding it and stuff, does that almost feel a bit like just freer? Because you're kind of, it's less, you know, you're working, you're getting paid to do this thing, and this is a crucial bit of it, rehearse it and practice it, but you finish at the time when you're going to finish and you're off home after that to eat probably pot noodles.
Yeah. It's a totally different experience rehearsing. It's harder, I'd say. It's more relaxed because you don't have an audience, a performance per se, but it's harder because you're thinking, you're constantly thinking, how am I going to do this scene? How am I going to say this? Where are we going with that? Are we going to block it? So you're learning the lines, you're learning the staging, you're learning everything, and it's really hard. And then the first night you do your show, and it's so nerve-wracking. But then after the first night or two, then you know the show, and then you can play around with it, and then it's more freeing. So yeah, it's weird because it's more relaxed because you're not performing, but then you really have to like take everything in. So it changes, you know. That's the brilliant thing about it. It's not like a 9-to-5 sort of thing. It's different, and you activate your brain.
I was just looking for a yes or no, but thanks for that. Do you have a bit of music? You audition for stuff all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. You get things now and again.
Yeah.
Do you have bits of music that you play when you win a job? Like, is there a bit of victory music that you play when you got the confirmation through for this that said, hi, Mr. Frost, thanks very much. Our actor that we had cast for it can't make it. So you were 7th on our list and we've come that far.
Yeah.
You get the part and you were like, yes, fist bumping. Oh, let's have some funny supper tonight. Do you put a song on to celebrate?
I'd love to say yes to that. I don't think I do have a special song for that.
What do you do? What feeling does it get inside you?
I get tingles down my spine. I involuntarily laugh and I sometimes cry if I'm on my own.
Did you cry for this one?
My eyes were welling up, yeah. Yeah, I was on my own when it happened. I just had a WhatsApp message going, you got the part. I was like, ah!
Like where were you?
I was in the living room sitting on the chair watching telly, obviously. If I'm on my own, I'll let myself have a little cry. If I'm surrounded by people, I never show weakness.
And you don't have a victory song, and then conversely, you don't have any sort of... When you sort of don't get that email on a Friday and you're like, yeah, I probably not got this, and then you have to chase up and it's like Tuesday afternoon and they're like, sorry, not this time, and you don't have anything then to sort of counter that, like Rage Against the Machine or Metallica or something.
I don't.
Goldie looking Jane.
Yeah, maybe a bit of Coldplay. I'm just joking. I already wouldn't like that. No, I don't. I'm a music lover. I love music, but... I am terrible at remembering things. Like, I'm terrible at remembering names of bands, songs. But if I've heard a song before and I hear it again, I'm like, oh, I love that song. But I can never really remember it. Very much unlike you, though. You know music. What would you have, then, if you had, like, something to celebrate?
For you, I would have, like, the Star Wars music. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, Imperial dun, March. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Guess who's got cast in a park?
It's the evil song. That's Darth Vader's
March.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's probably a good Rebel one or something.
There's a good one. Yeah, the Ewoks sing a good one. It's in the Return of the Jedi that they no longer play in the special edition. They take it out and play a more subdued song. But this one's the Ewok song. It's the Nyap Nyap song, and it's a lot of fun. I won't sing it because it's just going to be me saying Nyap Nyap. So, but then is that, I suppose.
Okay.
Do you have a go-to song that you listen to when you?
Well, I've got a song by the Crocodiles, and it's called "I Wanna Kill." And if I'm having a really, really annoyed day, I will play it. And if I'm having a good day, I'll play it. It's a good day, bad day song. It serves dual purposes. It's like a celebration song and it's a rage song. And I played it today, actually. I've calmed down a bit now, though, so.
Okay, good. I that was for a rage, suppress the rage, that one, was it?
Just a bit angry earlier. Oh. I'm okay now, but I was just a bit angry. Just a bit like, oh, God, it's all quite hard at the moment, so.
Yeah. Any particular reason for that? Anything?
It's the people.
Yeah.
Bloody people. People and process. Mm. And like, you know, get the part, learn the lines, do the play.
Yes.
Get a new part, learn the lines, do the play.
Life goes on, doesn't it? It's just life. It's just life.
Life. Oh, life.
Isn't that funny?
That could be your winning song one, couldn't it? A bit of Desiree.
Well, you were singing Desiree, but I was going to sing the Generation Game. Life is the name of the game, and I want to play the game with you. Both would work.
Perfect. You're winning. So you're winning the game show when you get the next part. Play that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like the sound of that. Is that Generation Game?
That's Blockbusters.
I thought it was. Yes. Bob Holness, do you know the most cringy part of that? When students took over Blockbuster and they did a stupid dance in the audience where they used to clap their knees and clap their hands and twiddle their thumbs like jiving. Do you remember that? Oh, made me sick. Ruined the show they did, the students.
You've been off school for 6, 8, probably 10 days with bank holidays all in all. You've been watching much crap on the telly?
Yeah, I have actually. I've been watching a bit of crap. The Blacklist. Which is on Amazon Prime. It's got starring James Spader in it, and it's about this criminal mastermind who goes to the FBI and hands himself in and then works for the FBI, find all the other criminals. It's a very long-running show, and yeah, it's a bit of crap, but, you know.
Many creative projects that you've not got done yet?
Yeah, loads of creative projects I haven't got done. Loads, yeah. It's been the best of half terms and the worst of half terms.
Because you got that job in the summer. Have you just taken your foot off the gas a bit now?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Well, I'll tell you what I've done, actually, 2 weeks ago. You moonlight on other podcasts sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Well, I was cast in to co-host a video podcast filming in Kew 2 weeks ago. So it was full... Three or four camera setup, lit makeup, and I was co-hosting a video podcast. It's due to come out very soon, and dear listener, I will let you know when it does come out. It was a discussion like sort of like Loose Women, but not Loose Women. It was just like four people chatting about university and whether they think it's worth it or not. So it was basically that sort of thing.
Who was that for? A uni.
No, it wasn't actually. It's for an independent producer. Every month he wants to do a new podcast about a different topic, and everyone's going to talk about a different topic. There's another one about drugs, but I didn't want to talk about that one. Don't want to get anything like that out in the open because, you know, you'd want to... You choose the topics you want to talk about, and I think I was more qualified to talk about university. Pardon the pun. So I did that, and that was a lot of fun. So I'm not being lazy, but
What did you wear? And that was before the holiday. So yeah, technically you have been lazy because that's not now, is it?
All right, mother. What did I wear? I wore my shacket, my orange shacket, and like navy blue shirt with black jeans. I thought it looked pretty good. It was very funny because there was three other people there. We're all just chatting away, and we're talking about when we went to university. And I said I went 2001 to 2004, and they went, well, hang on a minute, how old are you? And I said I was 41, and they did not believe me. They said, what year were you born in then? I told them 1982, and then I had to get my driving license out and show them, and they were like, oh, that is insane. You are You are 15 years younger than I thought you were. They thought I was like 26, 27.
And were they quite young? And
yeah, the oldest was... Stupid. The oldest was 36, and he thought...
Okay, well, he should... What? Yeah.
Well, he thought, I'm the old guy here. And then when he realized I was the old guy, he was like, oh.
What was he wearing?
I think he wore another shacket. I think he was just like shacket duty.
Did he look older than you? Did he act older than you?
I think he acted more confident and in control of himself, which probably why I seem quite young, because I'm always a bit nervous and unsure about myself, and maybe that's a young attribute, and maybe that's why people think I'm younger, because I just don't feel comfortable in my skin.
Awkward and dorky.
Yeah.
And like giggling and asking stupid questions.
Yeah, and doesn't
know where to stand. Yeah. Oh, shall I come over? Oh, I've got one like this. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Where do I clip the mic on? Oh, excuse me. Hi. Am I meant to be here? Is this the right place? Because this looks very fancy. And
yeah.
Okay.
Well, free orange juice. And they'll, ask you
they'll ask you the question and then you just nod. Oh, 2001. I would have been, university age. I was 18. That's right, yeah. Of course, we're all 18, aren't we? Oh, yeah. Preamble. Get on with the question. I've forgotten it already. Oh, do I look nervous? Do I look shiny? I hate the shine. That's the thing I hate the most.
Oh, well, they're great for the shine there. They've got these, I don't know if you've seen them, but they're like pieces of paper. They look like Rizzler papers. And you dab it on your head, and it just absorbs all the shine. I love them.
I had some back in uni, yeah.
It's so good. I needed them. They just see through by the end, you know?
It's the grease, yeah. It's all that grease. I can see it on my nose now. 5 o'clock shadow on my shiny nose, like glaring everyone out there on the internet.
Oh, my God. Visually
tuning into the show, episode live 3, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and welcome to the show. I mean, you're watching us, hopefully, on Spotify, YouTube, or Anchor. You can find us at Pressure and Frosty. If you just search for Pressure, that's probably the best word. PRESHAAH. You'll find us there. But you're already listening to us, so you already found us. So hello and welcome. Thank you very much for listening to us.
So if you found us already, tell your friends that they got to tune in. It's like really mind-blowingly exciting. What's it about? Well, it's about stuff, you know. I think you'll like it anyway. If you're really, really, really bored, give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. And... for those listeners who are new to the show, we've got one of our features, which is going to be our Gym Talk feature. So, here we go.
Gym Talk. Ooh.
Yes, it is Gym Talk. How have you been getting on with your gym regimen? The pressure?
Right back in it, man. I'm back in it for the first time this year.
Yes.
I'm back in it. Been at the gym about 3 times a week. I went today and did a pretty nice chest session. I've been running running a bit.
Lovely.
I ran about 25 minutes worth of running the other week.
Very good.
And then I'm doing about 10 to 12 minutes about 2 to 3 times a week. I ran a bit today and my knee hurt and I thought I'll forget that.
Yeah.
But just generally, it's been good. Been doing some good weight sessions in the gymnasium, which is feeling and looking quite good. And just doing some nice like hit and running exercises in the park. So it all feels, I'm liking it right now. I feel like I'm into it and would like to do it a bit more. Some days I just don't. Yeah, like my house is so close to work that the distance is so close. And if I do a full day, then there's no journey in between. So I'm trying to find... Well, we go for night walks now that the clocks have changed.
Yeah.
We go for a little stroll after dinner. Just go for a little 20-minute, half an hour around the park. Just a little night walk. Come home, watch telly, go to bed.
So
it's a lovely thing to do. I think probably it being lighter and brighter... And it easier to, if it's dry and clear outside, then I want to be out doing stuff. And that's, you know, this time of year, it's getting drier, it's getting brighter, it's getting nicer.
Yeah, it's lovely. That sounds a very idyllic way to go about your life. Go for a little stroll after
night walk.
Yeah, go for a night walk. I don't know if I could be bothered. I love the idea of it. But I don't know if I would. I don't think I would do it.
But the thing is, you live in the countryside, yeah, so you look. You've got a garden, and you can see stuff. You've got cats and that, and then you drive to work kind of through the countryside, and work is in the countryside. When you live in like urban, you need to get out. My flat's tiny, so I need the outside. When I lived in Walthamstow, didn't need it as much because I had a garden. Mm. And I could see out there, and I could pop out there, and out the front was quite nice with trees and that. And then I used to ride. Like half an hour-ish each direction to and from work every day. So I got enough outside time that I didn't need to go for a night walk. I didn't need to factor in a bit of outside lifetime. But when you're in Bethnal Green, you need to factor it in, mate.
Yeah, yeah, mate. Oh, well, that sounds lovely. I'm glad it sounds like you've got your groove on. So good stuff, man.
I'm so groovy that I did something amazing yesterday.
Yeah? What did you do yesterday?
What did I do? I did something amazing.
You did do something amazing yesterday. You...
What did I do?
You did a swim. Yes. What did he do? He's showing me. He's got his arm out. You gave blood. Amazing. Oh, good
stuff. First time in years, because I got rejected a couple of years ago, so my iron was too low.
Tell me about it.
Said, if you get rejected again, that's it, mate.
Yeah.
It's curtain. So I left it a few years, went back. Yesterday, failed the first test where they take a bit of blood and it goes down the thing. It sort of went down and then it just fizzed around. I was like, oh, F. Then they took the second test, smashed it. So.
Smashed it.
But as soon as they put the needle in me, I felt lightheaded. Yeah. And then they were doing it and I felt a bit like woozy and stuff. And then they were like, you're all right. I was like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine, mate. And they sat me up. And I walked over to where you sat. I definitely felt like lightheaded,
yeah.
But it was all right. It's fine.
Did you?
Okay.
What was your haul? Did you get discos? Did you get penguins? Squash?
It's too early, man. It's like 10 in the morning. So I just had one bag of crisps and one little pack of Biscoff biscuits. So
okay.
If I went now,
yeah.
I could eat five times that.
Yeah. Evening time's the best time to go because you can munch on so many crisps and biscuits, have a cup of tea. It's great.
But I do feel tired and like knackered afterwards, and I slept really well last night. And I went for a wee just before bed, and there was like nothing there, just a trickle. And I was like, "Great, I'm going to sleep well tonight because I won't have to get up, will I?"
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point, actually. Yeah, yeah, it's good for those men who are of a certain age. Give blood, have a sleep, undisturbed. Good work. I'm yet to give blood again since it was refused. I've been taking vitamin C tablets every day. I'm going to try and give blood. Soon, but if you don't have any hoyle in yourself before you give blood, there's no hope. Like, I don't want to feel tired after it, and I don't want to get refused because then I'm banned for life. But hey ho, my gym talk though has not been as good. I've twanged my hamstring. This happened.
How?
I was just running on a morning run, and then I just. Was running, I just felt a tiny little tinge, and I thought, oh, is this going to be nothing? Can I run it off? No, I can't. And then I was hobbling back, and I 4 or 5 days later, I thought, I'm not feeling it now, so I'm not feeling the pain. I'll just have another go. I ran a mile and a half, and it went again, and I had to like hobble home again. So I haven't
run.
The
initial run, when it went, how far from home were you?
I was about a third of a mile. Not that far.
You're just doing little circles then. So you'd run a third of a mile and then it felt a bit twingy and you went home. Like,
yeah.
I thought you were in the middle of a run, it sounded like.
No, it was early on in the run when I got the twinge. And I thought... Because
imagine you were like at the furthest point away from when you usually run and then you had to walk home like 4 miles or whatever with your dumpy little leg drag. Like, ooh, ooh. Oh, I thought someone would say hi, but because of my sweaty complexion, nobody even offered anything, so I hate the world.
Has anybody got any paper for my forehead? No, I didn't. On the run I did 4 or 5 days later, that was the furthest distance. So I was a mile and a half away. It was literally the furthest distance away. So that was a mile and a half away. It was about a 30-minute walk home after that, which is a bit rubbish. So I haven't managed to run since then, and I've got the Reading Half Marathon coming up on this Sunday, the whatever it is, the 10th or 12th of April, and we've had Easter, so I've eaten loads of eggs. It was me and Stacey's 15-year wedding anniversary, so with Easter bank holiday and a wedding anniversary, I've been boozing it up like a demon goblin mode. I've been goblin mode pretty much and not running. But I have been on the bike. I've been running on the bike, cycling on the bike, and that's been okay. So I've been doing either an hour or half an hour on the bike, and at least that's something. But yeah, it's...
You're going to be fit for the Oxford half, though, aren't you, in October?
Oh, yes.
You've got a place for.
That's so exciting, yes. So Dave's managed to get me a media pass to go to the Oxford half marathon, which is happening in the autumn of this year. I did it 2 years ago, and it's a fantastic half marathon because it's pretty much flat all the way. So you can get a race best time. And what a beautiful place to run through, Oxford. It's just incredible. So I had an amazing time before. So I'm very excited that we managed to get some tickets to do it again, because it's one of the best half marathons I've ever done.
There you go, kids. If you're looking to sign up for something a little bit later than London, which is only in a few weeks' time, and Reading, which is this weekend, get yourselves down to the Oxford half, which I think is around the weekend of the 12th. Ish of Oxford, so you're still, you know, a bit cool enough around that sort of time. You might get a bit of, you know, 16 degree peak temperature, but on the whole it'll be a nice crisp PB style flat route, and then go gallivanting around Oxford afterwards for some quaint pleasurable, you know, rehydration of both culture. Ooh. And fluids.
Very good, very good. I can't think of a better way to spend an autumnal afternoon. And now it's time for What Gets You Goat. What gets you goat? Yes, it's time for What Gets Your Goat. I'll start us off this month. We've had fish and chips for our anniversary meal. We went to a chip shop. We didn't have fish and chips. We had jumbo battered sausage, chips, and curry sauce. It's a classic. It's great. But every time we've had curry sauce, the past two times at least, I've noticed that the curry sauce is very expensive. How much would you pay for a pot of curry sauce? How much would you pay?
It's probably packing in at around £2 these days in the chip shop.
Okay, £2 for a curry sauce. And can you sort of tell me what sort of size portion would you say that is?
Same size as the mushy peas, I reckon. A small little polystyrene sort of cup. Not too much bigger
coffee
than
cup.
I don't know, half a cup of coffee's worth of... Yeah, about half a cup of coffee, so 250
mil-ish.
Yes,
so you're
maybe
showing us a mug there. So if you had like a polystyrene white coffee cup, that would be about right, would you say?
Yeah.
Well, we went to a chip shop about a month ago when we had this, and you know you can get these tomato sauce plastic little tubs, and they're very, very thin and small and circular. They were giving us a curry sauce in that, a tiny little tomato sauce pot. And I said to the guy, I was like, have you made a mistake? Because we've asked for curry sauce. And he went, oh, yeah, they come in this size now. The price is the same. Yeah, yeah, it's just that's what happens now. I was like, what? Are you serious? I can't believe it. I wasn't being rude. I was just genuinely shocked. £2 for that. Think about the markup. They've just put some powder in and water. It doesn't cost that much. In the end, he said, because we're going to have a drink with the meal, and he said, do you want me to swap the drink for the curry sauce instead? And I was like, yeah, of course, I want some curry sauce. And then we went to a chip shop last week. I mean, it was a small little polystyrene thing, and it was £1.80 for that. And I'm just thinking, that is ridiculous. So now we're going to buy our own gravy granules, but curry granules, and make them at home, because it's going to be so much cheaper. I just think, come on.
Did you take the chips home then, or were you eating them in?
No, we took them home. We took them home, so next time when we go home, we're going to make ourselves our own. Because now we've got our own mushy peas. We always have tins of mushy peas in the house. Because mushy peas are so expensive now. For what you get, it's insane. You can buy a tin for 40 pence, whereas you get a tub, and it's not that much in a tub, for £2. You do the math.
You could probably start battering your own sausage as well. I know you do that on your spare time quite a lot. So what's the point in even going out if you're just going to make half the ingredients at home?
Yeah, well, you can't beat chip shop chips. You can't make that at home.
Sneaking your own, you know, treats into the cinema, I seen ya.
Yeah, you know, I like to work the system, but sometimes, you know, there's a reason why chip shops are still in business. You can't emulate that taste at home, regardless of how hard you try. And trust me, I've tried, mate.
Well, there we have it. Eating out has just got that little bit harder in Berkshire in 2024. Skimpflation's bitten him really hard this time. Don't touch my curry sauce! I've never ordered in my life curry sauce, what? And I just wouldn't. No, no way. That synthetic pretend flavoured hot goo is just revolting. That barbecue sauce... No thanks,
mate.
Oh,
my God. Oh, my God. I'm surprised and a little bit... Well, you know, maybe I'll take you on a trip to the chip shop and I'll show you the ways of the curry sauce with my own. What's got your goat this month, Dave? Have we got enough time?
Dog owners.
Oh, yeah?
Just, like, letting their little pests be unruly and running around and making a mockery. That's kind of one thing. But then the bloody barking. Yeah. They just let them or almost encourage. They're sort of having a chat to their friend Flo. And the dog's just sort of barking away, wanting them to kick the ball. And eventually they pick up the ball or whatever. And then, like, rah. And then the dog comes back and then it takes him forever again. And I'm like, I've got to recognize certain sort of dogs and owners now. And if I see them near me in the park, I probably hear them before I get to them. But you're just having a nice time walking around and stuff and you hear a bit of a rough and then you get near to them and you're like, oh, flip. So I'll just try and make a route that immediately turns back on myself, or maybe I'll even run away as if I've done something to it. One day I will do something to it. When they can't see it, I'll kick that little poodle or whatever. But just control your flipping whip. Yeah. It, you know, keep it quiet. If I can't hear it, it's fine. If I can hear it, then it's like, oh, it's jumping on the seats now. Oh, it's on the table now while you're having a little coffee. Oh, you're feeding it some food from a table that I might sit on a bit later, and you're not wiping it, are you? You're just petting it and encouraging it. Oh, that's funny, isn't it, when he does that? No, it's not, 'cause he had his feet on the floor earlier, and the floor is where detritus lives.
You tell him, these dog owners. Yeah, so it's bad dog owners.
I just tut. But I run off a lot of the time.
What do you
mean
you run off?
I'm usually in the park dressed in my gear. So if something annoys me, if someone comes near, I'm like, oh, I don't like you. Then I just run away.
That's
so
funny. There's
enough space that if you just run quick enough. Well, I was on the street the other day and I could hear a police car come in. I was like, well, I don't want it to get near me and buzz past me with its sirens. I'll just run away. Don't round the corner. And act as if it's chasing
me. Yeah, it's going to look like very suspicious if you run away from a police car.
Yeah, but if they've got their sirens on, they know who they're looking for, and it's not me, is it? It's probably you.
I don't know. You're playing a risky game there.
We've got a description of a very shiny-faced man limping, holding his buttocks, with a very strange smile on his face, somewhere near to the Reading Octagon. So can we check that? I know, I saw him there. I saw him, Chief. He was doing something weird with curry sauce. I'll investigate immediately. Oracle, whatever.
Hexagon. But anyway, yeah, so I agree with you. You know, dog owners, generally they're pretty good. But it's the silent minority, isn't it? You only need one or two, and then you don't want to tar the whole dog owner community just by a couple of bad eggs, do you, you know?
No, in our park, you can see a lot of the owners, like, they're like, oh, let's go to a space where there aren't any dogs. Then I can just have a bit of me time with the dog and the dog can run free and I'll control it. And if it barks, I'll stop it. And then it tends to be the places that are more built up that these lazy owners with the lazy latte owners with Spot and Spike making a mess of the grass and whatnot.
Yeah.
Standing on our tables.
I had a disgusting little dog chase me around the park once when I was going for a run, and it bit my Achilles heel a little bit, and I went, whoa! I stopped and went, whoa! To the owner, and she went, oh, what's the matter? I was like, your dog just bit me. I was like, oh, grow up. He's just a little puppy. I was like, your dog just bit me. Come on, man up. Come on, it's only a little thing. I was like, oh, my God. I was so enraged. And I ran away then after that. I said, this is not on. And I just ran away. This is not on. And I ran away. God, that made me angry thinking about it.
What are you doing for the rest of half term then? Another couple of days left to your own devices, make some me time for Owen Frost. What's the plan?
I've done a lot of stuff around the house. I've been cleaning out the side of the house. I've been to the tip 3 times, so that's been quite productive. I've changed. I'm sorting out the cabin. But the main thing that I want to do is I want to make some blinking music, and I keep getting distracted by other stuff around the house and it stopped me from doing that. So I really want to spend I've done all the jobs around the house now. I've done all the jobs, so now I want to make something. So that's what I'm going to be doing this week. Yeah.
Tune in this time next month, listener, for hopefully some of these creations in their kind of demo format. We might be hearing the next Sweatbox 2.0.
Oh, that'd be fun, absolutely. And you're going to be off to Brazil next. You'll be back from Brazil next time, aren't you? Because you're going to be shooting off, aren't you, from me?
Yeah, going next week. So just planning things at the moment. Just getting my currency converter changed up. Got some nice Brazilian-themed Speedos.
Wow.
To, you know... Get into the zone when I'm there. And yeah, practicing my cha-cha-cha. All in the shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Down there. And it's in the hips as well, I think. And the groin.
More of a hippie, actually. So that's fine. That's good. Hips is more me.
Well,
so
you've got all this to look forward to in our May edition of the show with the Pressure and Frosty. Get in contact with the show at pressureandfrosty@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at @pressure_frosty, and I'll be putting some stuff up on Instagram under my name, ofrost82, and just keep your eyes peeled because we'll be out there and hold it down. Have a great rest of the April, and we'll see you in a month's time. Bye-bye.
Powered by Riverside FM.